This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, the Regina Pats were the big winners of the WHL Prospects Lottery. We'll take you back to the announcement and hear from the team that'll have the chance to draft hometown phenom Maddox Schultz. Well, strong debut for Victory Plus. The WHL's new streaming service did some massive viewership numbers in the first 2 weeks. WHL Commissioner Dan Neer will join us to talk about the initial reaction from the WHL. Well, some great first-round playoff matchups came to an end with a pair of Game 7s. We'll take you back to those sudden-death series finales. And a second-round battle between the Medicine Hat Tigers and Prince Albert Raiders. We'll see Ryder Ritchie pitted up against his former team. We'll hear from the Medicine Hat Tigers forward. First up. The WHL Prospect Draft Lottery going down Thursday. Six teams in the mix and just three with a chance to draft first overall. WHL's Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen, with the announcement.
The first pick in the 2025 WHL Prospects Draft belongs to the Regina Pats. The Regina Pats won the lottery and have moved into first place.
The Pats win the lottery after having just a 24% chance at the number one pick. Pats general manager Alan Miller reacting to the lottery win.
Everybody in our organization, for our fan base, especially after a tough couple of years, I think nothing but excitement in terms of landing the first overall pick in the WHL Prospects Draft. You know, just a lot of excitement around our organization in the moment.
And a hometown kid is the odds-on favorite to be that first overall selection. Maddox Schultz, who led the Saskatchewan Under-18 League in scoring this past season with the Regina Pat Canadians, he is regarded as the top available player.
It would be a dream come true to be drafted. And I've been watching the WHL for a long time, and I grew up in Medicine Hat. So I watched a couple Medicine Hat Tigers games there and moved here when I was five. So, you know, I've been to many Pats games, and, you know, watching them growing up was, you know, real cool. And to be in this spot right now, it's obviously a dream come true.
Well, the Pats general manager holding a lot of cards on draft day next month.
We've got a lot of work to do over the next 3 weeks. You know, we're into Winnipeg this weekend for Manitoba POE, and then the group heads out to Salmon Arm next week for BC POE, and then the following week, Alberta Cup. So lots of meetings along the way, a lot of work to be done. There's going to be a lot of focus and excitement around the number one pick overall for our group. And we look forward to that excitement. But our group has to stay focused on, the process and the big picture in terms of, you know, we have five picks in the first two rounds of this draft. I believe we have 23, 26, 27, something like that. So three picks in a short period of time. So there's still a lot of work to be done for our group.
The rest of the order will have the Edmonton Oil Kings with the second overall pick. The Kelowna Rockets hold the third overall selection. The expansion Penticton V's will draft fourth. The Everett Silvertips fifth. And the Vancouver Giants sixth. Draft day is May 7th. Meanwhile, the U.S. Prospects Draft Lottery was held between the six non-playoff teams and the eight teams eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. That lottery was won by the Brandon Wheat Kings, followed by the Moose Jaw Warriors and Edmonton Oil Kings. The U.S. Prospects Draft will be held May 8th.
You're listening to the WHL This Week radio edition.
We are through the opening round of the WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien and our first exposure to Victory Plus. It's a place to view all WHL playoff games free of charge from any location. And we're joined this week by WHL Commissioner Dan Neer. Dan, first off the bat here, safe to say this is a bit of a Victory Plus victory lap here so far?
I don't want to be arrogant about it, but I think the positive end of this is that it's been a tremendous experience for the fans. And we've brought our game, we've brought the league, we've brought this competition to so many more people than we've ever been able to. And I think that does warrant some degree of celebration. The change isn't easy. And, you know, I applaud the clubs, all 22, but in particular the 16, who had to move very, very quickly to adjust productions and put ourselves in a position to launch things for the playoffs. And I'll tell you a secret, I stayed home the first night of the playoffs rather than being in a rink because I was preparing myself for all the things that could go wrong. But to the credit of all the hard work behind the scenes in our office, Taylor Rocha and company at Victory Plus, Neil Gruninger and his team, and then, of course, 16 member clubs that participated in the launch, I didn't get one call. Things went off without a hitch.
Yeah, I was safe to say I think that everyone was in that same boat, sort of seeing what it would be like. And opening night was a smashing success with little technical difficulties, and that continues. You said that was a testament to the teams and your staff there as well. But, you know, I think with an off season as well before the fall, this could be stepped up a notch even further.
Yeah, I think in a multi-year agreement like this, where you're going to do something a little different than you have before, the whole goal will be continuous improvement. And I already am very, very proud of the product that we put over the broadcast. And I think it can only gain. And we sat and we've talked, you know, night after night over text with certain people on different enhancements that we're thinking of. And, you know, one big difference now is that you're bifurcating the audience around the WHL app, where you might be going to capture scores, schedules, highlights, that kind of thing, and the Victory Plus app, which is obviously going to be the content hub for us. And so we need to do a better job at communicating tickers, maybe even things like staggering game times so that not every game is an intermission at the same time. We've opened up a world where you might be a Kamloops Blazer fan, you might be a Medicine Hat Tigers fan, but you're also a junior hockey fan. And I think that we're creating an opportunity for people to dial in, pay attention to what's going on, not only in their home rink, but outside of their home rink and what's going on around the league.
All right, let's talk some data, some raw numbers here. How many fans would you say tuned in to the opening round of the WHL playoffs?
Well, I'm pleased to share that we're north of 750,000 fans watched games across the 44 first round games, which really is an unfathomable number when you think about it. And obviously we're transitioning from a world where we were living behind a subscription product, and it was a successful subscription product, and we made the games available to those who subscribed, and it's a totally different world. But that represents roughly, John, a 3.5 times increase from an average viewership standpoint. And so that, you know, it warms my heart, to be honest with you, that so many more people were able to take that in. We had one of the most competitive first rounds in recent memory. And for so many people to see it, it's a great indicator for our league. It's great for the players, for their personal brands, for their profile. It's great for mom and dad who are watching from anywhere around Western Canada or the Western U.S., and it's great for fans of hockey. And, you know, and we've talked a little bit about it before. The idea of more people having their eyes on our product is good for all of us.
Wow, some great numbers. Let's dig a little deeper here if we can, Dan. Is there a one or two games that stand out amongst the first round as far as doing some significant numbers, maybe the most viewed games in that opening round?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple ways to look at it. And when we stack a bunch of games on a Friday night or a Saturday night, the aggregate audience is very, very impressive, right? And I don't want to undermine that because we had great turnout for every one of the games that was on. Not one was anywhere near or below where we had been previously. But I think you automatically go to the game sevens. You know, Portland Prince George ended up being the most viewed game, over 35,000 viewers for that game alone. Edmonton Prince Albert's game seven was right behind it, just about 31,000. And Everton Seattle game six was the other one that eclipsed 30,000. It was 31,000 viewers. And so, you know, these are unique viewers. And so if you're toggling between games, if you go and you flip to another app or you're watching highlights in the intermission, you don't get double counted. And so these are legit numbers. And, you know, I think that some people probably are surprised that many people are engaged at this level, and it's only the first round. And so I think as we go on, it's only going to build as we build familiarity on the app and how to get the app, and then the quality of production that you're getting, I think it's only bound to grow.
There was another series that drew a lot of eyeballs in that opening round. Two places I've spent a lot of time, two prairie centers that have been around a long time, Swift Current and Medicine Hat. That series did extremely well. Take me through some of the numbers in that opening round set.
Okay, well, you're testing me, but I think the games 3 and 4 of that series both were somewhere north of 23,000, 24,000, and that whole series was also really well viewed. And I think that brings up a really interesting dynamic of this whole thing. And undoubtedly, it's a team in Medicine Hat that's got a lot of star players and a lot of star power. You think about the rivalry between those teams, and the communities were both deeply engaged, and both were playing out of sold out or virtually sold out buildings every night. And then I think, you know, this idea that you can be successful in this league if you're a small community or you're a big city. To see Swift and Medicine Hat right up there with the Edmontons of the world or the Portlands of the world when it comes to the amount of people tuning in and paying attention to what's going on, I think that's a testament to the parity and strength in our league, to the importance of junior hockey in the Western League in these communities. And so, it's very encouraging for us, and we're looking forward to what's ahead in the second round.
And finally, you touched on it there for a second, but we talk a lot about Victory Plus in the app, but, you know, some of the crowds you just mentioned in Swift Current, a sellout there. I think of Game 6 and 7 up in Prince George, sellout crowds to watch that series finale. And even in Prince Albert the other night with that Game 7 against Edmonton. So it's eyeballs on screens, but also in the venue so far this year.
Well, in the venues is the heartbeat of what we do, right? And certainly broadcast is not designed to be a substitute whatsoever. The level of entertainment, the experience, the environment being a part of it in the facility is what we're all about. But attendance on a true comp basis for the first round was up year over year. And that was a tough comp when you think about it, because we had Saskatoon, which is, if not our biggest building, one of our biggest buildings, with big crowds all the way through last year. And so despite not having, a team going deep in the playoffs there, we were still able to make that up around the league. And, and so it's small increase year over year on a game by game basis. But the other news is, instead of 37 games, which we played in the first round last year, we played 44. So we had some series go deeper. And as you know, when you start to get later in the series, that fills the buildings and that generates energy going into the next round.
Well, it's been great so far. It's upward and onward here, and we look forward to see how it all plays out here. But a fresh start with Victory Plus and some great numbers here so far, so everyone can take a bow, and let's hope it keeps on rolling here for the rest of the playoffs. Dan, congratulations on the launch here so far, and thanks for being a guest here on WHL This Week.
Thanks, John.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschanout Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The first round of the WHL playoffs, presented by Nutrien, went out with a bang. Seattle and Everett, they would go to double overtime, tied 0-0 in Game 6. Casey Bryant on Silvertips Radio with the call.
Here's Vaughn on the right wing, pushes by a defender. Sharp angle shot! They score! They score! Lucas Kaplan! The find-away Silvertips are marching to the second round! Lucas Kaplan with 6:17 left in double overtime.
That would push the top-seeded Silvertips past Seattle in 6 games and into a series now with the Portland Winterhawks. Now, Portland, they survived a Game 7 in Prince George. The Cougars forced the 7th game with a Game 6 victory at the CN Center. The teams would meet the very next night. Winterhawks' Nick Merrick on the call with Portland up a goal late.
14 now, Portland has it, 2-on-1, empty net, bingo, bingo, it's good, 4-2 Portland, the empty netter with 9 seconds to go, and the Winterhawks are set to advance to round 2. A 33-save effort for Andre Stebatek, and the Portland Winterhawks survive Game 7. And they advance to the second round of the WHL playoffs. an unbelievable finish to this hockey game.
It's the second year in a row the Winterhawks have beaten Prince George in the postseason. It was the first Game 7 in Prince George going all the way back to 1998. And there was another Game 7, this one in the Eastern Conference. The 2-7 series had the Prince Albert Raiders hosting the Edmonton Oil Kings in a Game 7 showdown. The hometown Raiders would run away with it. Nick Nielsen on CKBI Raiders Radio in the final seconds.
10 seconds left as Barrett gets control, and he's going to back up into his own zone. Raiders, 5-0, are moving on to round two, and the Arthauser Center is alive. Matt Hildebrand closes out the shutout, and the Raiders will head to Medicine Hat.
The Raiders now advancing to play the top-seeded Medicine Hat Tigers in round two.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Two WHL teams that made a significant trade with each other to start the season will go head-to-head in the second round of the WHL playoffs. The Medicine Hat Tigers getting set to host the Prince Albert Raiders to open up the series. Will Bryan, voice of the Tigers, spoke with Ryder Ritchie.
What did this group maybe learn about themselves in that first round series?
Yeah, I think... our group showed a lot of resilience. You got to deal with the iPlex, which is a hard rink to play in. And, there's so many variables in the game. You got reffing. We had a disallowed goal there, lead changes. So I think we stayed emotionally resilient. And, we didn't get two up, two down. So I think that's kind of what we learned through the first round.
And what did going through a game four overtime also sort of help for this group? Of course, there's a lot of confidence that builds off a game four overtime win, but what were the nerves like going into that overtime? And then on the other side of that, what maybe stands out? It was only a 2-minute overtime, but what stands out?
Yeah, we kind of blew a little bit of a lead late. I think we stayed kind of emotionally flat. We didn't get two up, two down, and we had a lot of belief in our room. And we have so much belief in this group and all the guys. So I think we didn't get too nervous or anything. We just kind of knew if we played our game and we can get it done. So that's kind of what we did there.
There's been a message from this locker room of keeping the water hot. And with a week off between playoff series, what goes into staying ready for game one of round two coming up here on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it all starts in practice. You gotta keep the energy high, you gotta keep the tempo going, and you gotta have a lot of fun. I think that's what you live for, the playing games. So I think you just gotta do some scrimmages and stuff like that, just to try to keep the water hot. So I think we've been doing a good job of that so far this week.
Talking with Tigers forward Ryder Ritchie, your game's also kind of stepped up here a little bit in the postseason. You're able to be healthy going into the playoffs, which of course helps, but what's about playoff hockey maybe allowed your game to elevate?
Yeah, I think, they're all big games, and they're fast, so you got to be able to kind of think quick and make a lot of quick plays, and also my line mates have been great. Gavin will make my life pretty easy. You just got to put the puck in the net for them. So, they're great players to play with, so they've made it easy on me.
I want to ask about your head coach, Willie Desjardins. Of course, this is your first year here in the hat, but he's nominated for Coach of the Year as well as Executive of the Year. But as a coach, what stands out that makes him such not just a special coach, but person, and has helped elevate this team throughout the season?
Yeah, I think just the biggest thing about Willie is he cares for his players. As a person and as a coach, and he'll do whatever it takes to make you better. A lot of video stuff, and he just really cares about his players, and that's the biggest thing.
For this group, there's been some additions throughout the season, and you guys have continued to stay a tight-knit group, and you've continued to gel. How has that gelling and the bond that this team's formed helped this team succeed here in the postseason?
Yeah, we just have a brotherhood in that dressing room, and we've traded for a lot of guys, and a lot of guys have been out, but I think we've done a good job of kind of tying the new guys in and making them such a tight part of this group. So I think we're just a brotherhood, and it starts off the ice, in the dressing room, joke around, having fun with each other, and just getting to know each other. So I think we have such a tight brotherhood. So you can see it on the ice, like how excited guys are when guys score, and it's just such a fun team to be on.
And even that translates to like the little power play celebrations. How did that come about? The little, I don't know, it's almost like the Wii Sports jump around.
I think it just started kind of the first practice we scored, and we did it as a joke, like just a jump around. Yeah. We've had a couple other celebrations that we've kind of talked about doing, but they're quite a bit outrageous, so they haven't came out yet, but you never know.
Yeah. No choreographed dances or anything?
Not yet. We had kind of one in the making, but it won't come out.
Well, who knows? Maybe the time will come, but I want to talk about now round two, Prince Albert Raiders, team you know very well, your former club. How excited personally are you to face off against Prince Albert in a best-of-seven series?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, first time kind of being in the second round, and and I mean, it's kind of cool. I get to play against the team I was on last year. But yeah, they're a great team, and it's going to be a super hard series, and I mean, we're just all looking forward to it.
What's that dynamic like of knowing you were swapped basically for Tomas Mrsic and you guys are facing off against each other? Is that internally motivating at all, or is that just something that you just try not to think about?
Yeah, I try not to think about it. Like, it's like I'm not trying to make the game against them, just trying to make the game the Tigers versus the Raiders and doing what I can to help the team win, and that's the biggest thing. If we win, I'm happy, so yeah.
Of course, this is a team you know well and a structure you'd also know well, and a goaltender like Max Hildebrandt you know well, so how much of the video room or the scouting report do you get involved in for a series like this where you're so familiar with the club?
Yeah, I mean, quite a bit. I know all the guys there, and I kind of know their tendencies and their kind of their structure and how the way they like to play. So as much as I can help the guys out on, like, if it's a scouting report on Hilti or their structure and stuff. So just trying to help the guys out with that. Yeah.
Talking with Tigers forward Ryder Ritchie, you guys played in a similar building, difficult to play in the Innovation Plex in round one against Swift Current. Now you guys get the Arthauser in round two. How exciting is it to be able to go into a building that's so, you know, vintage and hostile at the same time and have a strong playoff series there?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a fun rink to play in for sure. I mean, it's really different. I mean, it's an older rink, kind of like you said, vintage style, and a lot of history in that rink. So it's like it's a hard rink to play in, but I mean, playing in it for so long, you get used to it. So I kind of like it, but I mean, yeah, it's going to be, their fans are pretty hostile, and they got that loud horn there, so it'll be definitely a fun time.
Well, games one and two get to start on home ice. You guys have earned that right throughout the Eastern Conference portion of the postseason. And the fan support here from the Medicine Hat faithful has been tremendous, to say the least, through the first round. How do you guys feed off that here in games one and two on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's huge to have fans like they've been in the playoffs for sure. I mean, like game one with the towels coming out to that, like that was electric. That might have been one of the cooler moments I've seen. So I think if they keep bringing that energy and we build off it on the ice, I think it just makes it fun for everyone, and it makes our team better. So yeah, it's awesome to have people like that here.
Well, looking forward to the series. Appreciate the time, Ryder.
Yeah, thank you.
In the corners and around the boards, the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
It's award season in the WHL as award nominees continue to be announced. The Four Broncos Memorial Trophy for the WHL Player of the Year will be contested by six nominees. In the Eastern Conference, Gavin McKenna of the Medicine Hat Tigers, Oliver Tulk of the Calgary Hitmen, and Prince Albert Raiders goaltender Max Hildebrandt. Three from the Western Conference, Andrew Crystal of the Spokane Chiefs, his linemate Berkeley Catton, and Kyle Chizowski of the Portland Winterhawks. Winners of the 2025 WHL Awards will be announced from Tuesday, April 22nd through Wednesday, May 7th. The Bill Hunter Memorial Trophy finalists for the WHL's top defensemen are out. In the Eastern Conference, the nominees include Tanner Molendijk of the Medicine Hat Tigers, Noah Chadwick of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, Luke Shipley of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Three from the West, including Tyson Jugnauth of the Portland Winterhawks, Mazden Leslie of the Vancouver Giants, and William Kmetz of the Prince George Cougars. The nominees for the Dale Wilson Memorial Trophy for the WHL's top goaltender are out. From the East, Max Hildebrandt for the Prince Albert Raiders, Daniel Hauser, the all-time WHL wins leader of the Calgary Hitmen, and Carson Bjarnason of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Out West, Scott Ratzlaff, a nominee from the Seattle Thunderbirds, Joshua Ravensbergen of the Prince George Cougars, and Dawson Cowan of the Spokane Chiefs. The nominees for the WHL Coach of the Year are out for the Dunk McCallum Memorial Trophy. The nominees include Willie Desjardins of the Medicine Hat Tigers, Dan DeSilva, first-year head coach of the Saskatoon Blades, and Bill Peters of the Lethbridge Hurricanes. In the Western Conference, James Patrick of the Victoria Royals, Brad Lauer of the Spokane Chiefs, and Matt Odette of the Seattle Thunderbirds. While the nominees for the Lloyd Saunders Memorial Trophy for the WHL's Executive of the Year will be between six finalists, Willie Desjardins of the Medicine Hat Tigers, Gary Davidson of the Calgary Hitmen, Colin Priestner of the Saskatoon Blades, while in the Western Conference, the nominees include Matt Bardsley of the Spokane Chiefs, Jake Heisinger of the Victoria Royals, and first-year GM in Everett, Mike Fraser. Hey, that's the show. Want to say thanks to our guests and a big thanks to Will Bryant in Medicine Hat for his help. I'm John Keith. Hey, enjoy the second round of the WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien.